Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Audible brings your wildest adventures to life, delivering heart-pounding thrills at the touch of a button. Take Richard Osman's The Thursday Murder Club, where four retirees turned amateur sleuths solve crimes in the most unexpected ways, brilliantly performed by Leslie Manville. Ready to unleash your adventurous side? From pulse-racing suspense to epic quests, from supernatural chills to far-off romances, every story comes alive through world-class narration. Explore exclusive Audible originals, chart-topping new releases, and unforgettable bestsellers that transport you from the very first word. Because the next great adventure is just a listen away. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUK. That's audible.com/WonderyUK.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, as usual, the wonderful, the glorious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi.
We're here today to talk about Below Deck, second episode. Before that, just a healthy reminder that on Thursday, we are doing a show in Seattle. We're so excited to make our grand return after 2 years, the Pacific Northwest. We always have a wonderful time there. Come join us while we recap the season premiere of The Real Housewives of Miami. Come alone, come with a group, come with anything. But just be there. Get there any way you can, as Alita Adams would sort of sing. So tickets are at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's where the links are. And then the following week, the following Thursday, June 19th, here in Los Angeles, the end of our Mounting Hysteria tour. We're doing it at the Fonda Theater. We're going to recap The Valley in Hollywood. So come join us. That's going to be a great, great show. It's also our last show. So let's send it. Let's like do it out with a bang. I am hoping that Jax does not crash it. I don't think he will. So anyway, that's it. Watchwhatcrappens.com to get your tickets. And then on Patreon, we are doing bonus episodes every day that we are recording of Love Island because we're all into that. So go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and get your daily dose of Love Island goodness. Plus also Crappens on Demand where you can watch us, not just listen. These episodes are recorded on video. They're streamed on video and you can watch them on Patreon. And then a week later, they will be free on YouTube. So that's all the good stuff. All the good.
Just a quick note. Daily means whenever we record. So this week we're doing Monday through Wednesday, Love Island. And then we'll be back on Monday through Thursday generally.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't record on Friday.
So today is Below Deck. We have a new chef. Who's it going to be?
Well, I'll tell you, you don't have to look very far because they just didn't even care about hiding this. Last week, I went on to Peacock. This was like on Wednesday, the day after the, no, it was Tuesday. It was the day after the Below Deck premiere. And they have a big, you know, the big image that's like Below Deck, watch Below Deck. And they have a lineup of the entire crew. You see them all standing there, like waving hi to guests. And right there, just right there is Frenchie just standing there, as well as someone else. And I'm not going to say who the other person was, but like there's obviously someone else is no longer part is going to last on this cast and they're going to be replaced with someone else. Like, oh, you're just,
oh, wow.
Don't even care. Just don't
it's
even
gotta
care.
It's got to be
just,
the bosun, right? The bosun guy seems like he's not long for this world.
I'm not going to say who is going to be leaving, but basically there were definitely two people on that photo that did not start the season. And so I just thought it was so funny how Peacock just brazenly posted a spoiler right there on their main page.
The Peacock blocked you.
But luckily it's Below Deck. I don't think we really care too much about the spoilers, right?
No, it's no mystery. Whoever it is going to clean and they're going to cook. Tell you that.
Or sexually harass someone.
Yes, very possibly. Or get their dick pierced. You never know on this show. I love that this show is like, let's change it up every year just a little bit. This year we'll have like an opening scene where everybody goes to drinks and that's not enough. What a, pierce someone's dick. All right, we're in.
New season. The other switch up is that this episode, whenever someone gave like a stupid piece of their backstory, they gave them like a Real Housewives kind of thing where they just put their name. They put like a whole bunch of biographical photos up on screen and then they put their name really big. And it was just funny because normally on the Real Housewives, when you see someone's name up on screen, they get like a whole scene that lasts 5 minutes. Here it's like Johnny. And then it's like, when I was younger, I used to always love ice cream. And that's where I really developed my love for ice cream. And then we just move on with the show. I'm like, really? Did that require like a giant name before they said that commentary?
The end. Yeah, I guess maybe they're getting complaints like, well, I don't know who anybody is on these shows. They're always different people. Sir Johnny. Johnny likes ice cream, has mother issues, and a daughter living in a continent away. Yeah.
I wonder who would have said those things.
A daughter living in a locker in a bus station in Fort Lauderdale close to dock. So we open with Lawrence freaking out in the kitchen. Chef Lawrence, I'm shaking. I really don't know what to do. I can't do this anymore. And Kerry comes in. He's like, it's a high stress situation, mate. Sometimes things go bad. Sometimes things go good. What are you going to do? Sometimes you poop. Sometimes you don't got nothing coming out. You just go on with your life. You're going to really handle this really well soon. Don't worry about it. He's like, I can't do this. What would Jesus do? He wouldn't quit. That man wandered in the desert for 30 days and didn't eat anything, okay?
What I need you to do is pull up your big boy pants and get the job done. Sorry that the idea of slicing a piece of broccoli stresses you out. Now let me get back to my job of driving a giant $400 million boat through a tiny bridge, all right? Sorry that you're the one that's stressed here.
He's like, well, I'll tell you now instead of at the end of the trip. So you've got more time to get someone else, but I've got to go. I've got to go. And he's like, all right, fine, wuss. And so Lawrence is muttering to himself, oh my God, I'm going to have a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack before. My head is up my fucking asshole.
Yeah, he is really losing it. And Fraser's like,
so, Kerry, I just spoke with the chef and it sounds as though this might be his last trip. So I wanted to get in one little tattletale before he's gone.
He's like, yeah, no, I already talked to him. So it's not really a tattletale anymore. But, you know, you've been here a day and, you know, someone's willing to quit so quick. Oh, I can't hear that. I need someone I can trust.
I love that Kerry is acting like he's firing him when the guy quit. He's like, listen. Yeah.
I could see the guy was getting overwhelmed. Okay. We put a carrot on a cutting board and he nearly melted down. So I showed him support, but that support couldn't get him through his funk. And he has decided he can't be here any longer. He doesn't want to be up for the adventure. So I'm going to try to convince him to stay, but without a chef. I mean, what options do we have? Do I get in the galley? What do we do?
So of course, Fraser's like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out. What am I going to do? I've got a chef going crazy. I don't have a chef. God, I wish I had another chef that I hadn't fucked over behind their back to call on. Hmm.
So then we go to KO. Well, first Barbara is showing the girl, the little girls on the boat, her tattoos. And she's like, look, these are my tattoos. These are my cats. I have 4 cats and 18 dogs. Here's their names. Lucy, Benny, Jiggly, Brick, Amelie, Flower. Flower again, but spelled like the flower you eat, not the flower you grow. Although you could eat that flower too, to be honest. Poo-poo. I was running out of names.
Then KL tells us, my dad, he always told me what deserves to be done, deserves how to be done. He came from nothing and he built a construction company. This is the ongoing story of came from nothing. Now I went into yachting.
We're not rich. I love his come from nothing, by the way. It's like, I came from nothing. My dad owns a construction company. I'm like,
he had food. I don't even think had a car.
That's coming from nothing, but yeah. Love your hair. He's like, cool.
I know. It's like, my dad is a perfectionist. So, I mean, I'm doing a good job is important because you can either enjoy it and do the best you can, or you can fucking complain all day. And it's going to be a nightmare for everyone. So I choose actually neither of the above. I will not complain and I won't do a good job.
Listen, I want to do a good job and enjoy it and do it the best I can and also complain. So stop yucking my yum, sir. This is my lifestyle you're fucking with. Yeah.
So Fraser is grabbing some eggs from Lawrence. He's like, do we have any microgreens or anything? He's like, I don't put microgreens on fucking eggs. Fraser's like, I'm so angry that you've already quit because I would be undermining you so hard right now.
He's coming for my garnishes now. Something must change. I've already quit, you motherfucker. Get the fuck out of my kitchen.
Sorry. Jesus was on a coffee break, so that slipped out, but I'm back and calm again.
I wish this guy was staying just to watch him rip Fraser a new one, because you know he would. He's not going to put up with that shit for 2 seconds, that microgreens bullshit. I love that. I don't put microgreens on fucking eggs.
Who was the Stu who was always like who had a lot of commentary about like that there should be microgreens on things? There is someone.
Yeah. It wasn't him?
Was it him who was like, we should add some microgreens?
It was like putting garnish. It wasn't microgreens specifically, but it was like garnishing. You need to garnish your plates. But I don't remember who it was. I don't remember. Yeah, it was Aisha. I think it was that one. Where she's like,
microgreens on your plate. Put some
garnish on there. No. So the guests are eating and they're like, oh my God, perfect egg. Did you guys blacklight the egg? This egg is fucking disgusting. You don't have to wear it, Dad. Just eat it for fuck's sake.
Oh, wow. Well, the French, they do it right. Although the one thing they can't get right is they don't shave the shit down there. Okay, come on. You got to shave down there. Okay, because when you put the blacklight on, the last thing you want to see is a giant nest. Am I right? Like, there are kids here. Do we have to talk about this in front of the kids? Like, oh, they don't know.
Yeah. Weird family. So then they're like, hey, by the way, Fraser, could you ask the chef if we could get a smile for dinner? That would be great.
Great.
No, you fucking pubic hair obsessed little shit. You cannot. eat your fucking black light.
So Barbara's working with Selene, and she's like, okay, please, let's try to keep like this pantry. Like, I know it's hard, but like, let's please try to keep this as maximum as possible. Let's make it as nice as possible. And Selene's like, yeah, I know. Why are you yelling at me? You don't have to yell at me. Just tell me, yeah, okay, I know. She's like, it's fine.
She's like, I know it sucks to do it like this, but we have to do it. Oh my God, this girl, I'm starting to understand her. You know, I know that language communication is hard. I've been in her situation. I speak 4 languages. I know how to say fuck you in 8. But, you know, I explain things easier way for her. Like, please, okay, thank you. You know, it's stupid, but it's better for her. She'll be happy. So I'll say please. What the fuck?
So, Cal, he's been setting up a whole bunch of like floaty things. And so now he's going to have some lunch and the guests are going to go play with water toys and people are cleaning. And Selene, she's like, Rimbo, can I show you something please in my cabin? And Rimbo's like, yes, of course, my love. Look, it is something very bad. Something I've never seen in a toilet before. Look at that. Look at you. See what is in there? Like, poop. Oh, she's like, it's just a little piece of poop. Yes, it's a little poop.
Just a little poop. We have all the germ in the face of shit. That is what we have here.
I love poop, the German, the face of shit.
Poop. It is not just a little poop. It is dead. It is dead looking at me there. I will not touch it.
You have to clean everything. This is nothing, okay? Look,
no.
I have had people take an actual shit on the teak, okay, on the main deck aft, so during the Monaco Grand Prix. So this is really nothing.
No, I will not do. No, no poop for me. No.
You're going to put your hand in there and clean it. Oh, no. How do you do that?
So Fraser goes to the captain. He's like, Captain, I've had a thought. Okay, well, do you want to sit down? Do you just want to tell me right now, mate? He's like, all right, I'll sit down. Now, if the chef's going to be departing, can I possibly suggest Chef Anthony? Yes, I know he cries a lot and in an accent that's hard to listen to tears in, but the man is skilled. He's very skilled and his genes are very, very small as well.
So. He's very skilled at making a mess in the galley, and I think that would be hilarious to make him feel bad about. Can we do that?
He lets me request really microgreens without cursing. So,
you know, Chef Anthony and I, we went through a lot last year, and I just think he lost his way and he's spiraled, but he's got it in him. That boy is incredibly talented, and I'm a little bit bored. I'd love to undermine him a little bit more, and if I can help him, and by help him I mean undermine him where I need to and guide him, we've got something.
Cat needs his toy, Cap. So I was like, oh, I love the idea of Anthony coming back. I mean, he started off really strong, but that mental state wasn't good. All right, that's why we had to let him go. Do you remember that? He's like, well, I've spoken with him a lot since then, and he's been working on boats since he left our vessel, and his confidence is through the roof. His jeans are even tighter. His hair is even slicker. I think he's ready to come back. Well, I hope he's ready to come back to cook some good food and have a good... what? Adventure! All right.
Let
then.
Me tell you something. He will. I'm telling you, his confidence is through the roof. And I think we could do a really great job of destroying that for him. So come on, let's bring him back.
All right.
I'll trust you. So meanwhile, Selena's still like, I'm fighting the poop. She's like, come on, just shove it in there. No, you want to do it? You want to do it? She's like, okay, you see this brush? Just swirl it around. Oh my God. Oh, you washed the poop. Oh, thank you so much for washing the poop. Thank you so much.
So, Rainbow is checking in with Cal. There's some lunch. Cal's eating. And she's like, where you been? And he says, underwater. Where else? So Fraser radios Rainbow to check on laundry. And she's with Barbara. And she's like, oh, my God, Barbara, I've done everything this morning. I did 3.5 cabins and she did half. My God, did you hear her screaming? Was that her saying poo-poo, poo-poo over and over? Yes.
So Terry goes out to the swim platforms. The guests are playing around. He's like, well, a lot of strong winds coming through. I call them adventure winds. And like, oh, wow, storm's coming in. Oh, wow, storm. He's like, yeah, we got to keep an eye on these guests, okay? They've got little children, okay? So if a kid goes over the side, we need to have this boat ready to go. If a kid flops into the ocean and you see sharks swirling around, here's a little inner tube that will help out. Like, okay, great. It's like, where's Cow anyway? Cow. And he's, of course, just eating.
Now, listen, on this boat, we'll let children fall overboard, but we don't just leave them there. We get them back in. Does everyone understand?
If one of these children falls overboard, but then forgets who they actually are, get some cameras on them because we can make a delightful comedy out of it.
Leave little notes about their personalities all over the boat so they can rediscover themselves in their 2 days on this yacht. Everybody got it? All right. But do it. Tell their timelines backwards. It's much more entertaining that way.
You know, it's a tough job to be the bosun. But our safety is our priority one. We've got two young kids on the boat. 3 children, if you count the chef. Hey, the weather is getting shit. The guests are everywhere and you're having a feed and someone's on break. Fuck no. It's an anti-adventure.
I feel bad for Kaio because this poor guy is like, okay, we're going to put out all the water toys. We're going to put them together with a rope because the rope's going to keep them. That's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to do it, guys. And then we're going to always have the toys. I think he watched like a season of Captain Sandy where she's like, I want all the water toys out there every second of the day. Do you understand me? This is a luxury yacht.
The moment we dock is the moment we put out all the toys. Dock toys. So Carrie's just not happy because there's just not enough people out on the deck to be keeping an eye on all these people, especially because there's kids. So they wake up Demo and Kao has to leave his lunch and everything. And
all that stuff. So Lawrence, meanwhile, is working on food, and he's like, this is a chicken with truffle and bacon sauce and serve lobster, blah, 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 blah. And Carrie FaceTimes Anthony. He's like, oh, good to see you, Captain. And Carrie's like, yo, too, mate. How have you been? Making a big mess in a bunch of different galleys. Oh, yes. I'm doing charter in Bahamas, and the guests are so happy. So happy for me.
Well, my mate, chef is starting to spiral. Last season, mate, I loved the food you put out. I just didn't love the crazy you put out. So could you just come back and be less insane? And he's like, oh, my God, Captain, you are not going to regret it. You have my word. My suitcase is already back. All right. I see you soon, Captain. Wait, aren't you working in the Bahamas? Fuck him. It was a lie. It was a lie.
Captain, I realized.
I'm finally checking out. I'm checking out of here. Fuck all of you and your jello.
Captain, I realized the reason why I had problems was because my eyebrows were too big and too bushy, so now I have plucked them into just teeny, teeny, teeny lines, and now I can see clearly, and I will make beautiful food.
So he tells us, he's like, getting fired on St. David. I was, like, kind of destroyed. But after the season, you know, Barbie called me, and she told me Fraser was a big part of me getting fired. So that hurt me. It hurt me so bad. Hold on. It's hurting me again. It's hurting. It hurts. It hurts on the inside. You're not done shooting yet. Oh, okay. I don't know what happened. We will work it out later. Once I have job, I will get him. I will kill him. I will have revenge. He will die of tears. He will drown in tears. Probably my tears, because I don't like hurting people. I will hurt them. I will cry. But I will cry down his breathing hole, and he will die.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You messed up my galley. Prepare for many dishes.
Prepare I have many, many dishes. No, I will not put fucking microgreen on my egg.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on the best idea yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments. Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime, and then it got acquired by Starbucks.
Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover.
On the best idea yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral.
These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus.
And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention span.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and Atwell Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
I have a theory, which may be sort of self-serving, but whatever. I mean, why not? I have a theory.
Those are the best kind.
I have a theory that this animosity between Frenchie and Fraser, I think you caused it, Ronnie.
Me?
I think it was because of you.
What yes. I do?
Because you were the first one to start really clocking how Fraser was undermining Frenchie, like, because the whole narrative on the show was Frenchie was overwhelmed, but you on this podcast, and you convinced me too, and I'm not saying it's I think it was a solid take. You were very much like, look at Fraser undermining, and the thing is this, Barbie I think listens to the podcast because she commented a few times on her Instagram. So then when he said that Barbie called him up and said that Fraser was undermining. I was like, Barbie was probably listening to us, and especially you. You were much more vocal about it.
I'm not true.
Yeah, I'm not abdicating my co-signing of it, but I really do feel like this was really your thing. And I think that Barbie listened and was like, you know what? Ronnie is right, and I'm going to tell Frenchie, and he's going to watch it with new eyes. So I fully believe.
The biggest honor in my life if I could cause shit, you know.
I really like do this. Think this. I really I do could think cause it.
Chaos, like, but it's true. Fraser does do that. He's got a bad habit, and he's done it through all of his seasons. This is his third one, right? He's been doing it the whole time he's here. That's just how he is. You know, we'll see. Yeah. I can't wait to find out who his victim is this year because he's going to do it again.
And the crazy part is there's only been one person who's really ever called him out on it. And you know who that person is on the show? It's Captain Sandy.
Captain Sandy saw that shit right away. Yeah,
she did. She said, like, yeah, you're the snake rots at the head and you're the head of the snake. And guess what? Even snakeheads deserve a hug. Get in here.
Oh, that's right. Because she was going to, that was the season where she was firing Captain Lee's staff because Captain Lee was ill and couldn't, or he had surgery. Something happened and he couldn't do the first part of the season. And so Sandy did it. And he's like, God damn it, trying to fire all my goddamn people. And they had this whole, like, whole online war about it and stuff. Oh, that was good.
That was a wild season. That was with Camille. We saw a brief flashback to that in this one.
I miss Camille, man. How are they not having Camille back? I love all the Stews this year. I think they did a great job casting Stews, but Camille was tremendous. A mess of a person.
Great dumpster fire. They should have at least put her onto Winterhouse. Jeez. So anyway, so some vegetables fall over and Carrie's like, well, I spoke to the chef. Worked out, Lawrence. It's the plan will be he'll, he's going to come in here, and then you can cry your big boy tears into his shoulder. We'll get you a diaper and send you off. All right. That sound good to you?
It sounds so good. It sounds so good to me.
This is Lawrence. He's like, of course, of course. Oh, God. Mother, son, Holy Spirit, motherfucker. So Carrie's like, all right, Anthony knows the job. That's the pro. The con, I fired him before. I don't want to repeat it. So I want to keep Lawrence along so Chef Anthony can get back in the game. And what better to help him than a crying Christian?
So meanwhile, Damo and Jess are talking about, you know, girls and stuff. And, you know, and Kyle's there too. And basically, Damo, they're saying like, oh my God, did you know Barbara's gay? And then Jess is like, yeah. And now we get a Jess segment. She goes, you know, I wear my gayness proudly. I'm proud of who I am. I went to a pretty religious, I'm trying to get to South Africa in my mouth, but I can't do it right now. There's too many things. I'm like, I went to pretty religious school. I'm like, that's not Africa.
There are so many accents to mangle on this show. That's why I love it. It's just like a bad accent tape for a whole season. It's like 10 bad accent tapes at one time.
So she says, I came out to my parents in the last year of high school and I was expecting the worst. So I told my mom, dad, I was gay and they weren't going to accept me because it's looked down on in Afrikaans culture. But then I saw a big sobbing gay man on this very show and he kept on yelling out, Kyle, Kyle, Kyle. And Frank. He did call out his own name too in the mirror. It was unseen footage. I realized if he could be out and loud and pray in Afrikaans, I could be too.
So funny. And she's like, and finally I told my dad and he was like, I know, I don't care. And I was like, oh my God, you know, this is a lot of work for me, you know. she wanted him to have a problem so she could have an end to the drama. It was a big letdown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My mom didn't believe me for a long time. She was like, you're lying. You're doing this to hurt me. And everyone around was like, your son is literally the gayest thing we've ever seen. Okay. Your son is so gay. The rainbow flag beat him over the head. Okay. He's being gay bashed by the gay flag. You've got the gayest son we've ever seen. She's like, no, it's a lie.
It's a phase. It's a phase. So meanwhile, the little girls want to go up to the hot tubs. They're playing in there. And then Lawrence texts his girlfriend to say that he's quitting. He had a monologue in here, which we may have missed, where he was saying, like, you know, ever since I found Christ, you know, I used to be so short tempered and so agitated all the time. But then I found Christ. I'm like, wow. Have you seen the footage of yourself?
No, you will not be in the advertisement. You're
not in the brochure.
There is no one going door to door holding up your picture like, welcome in. Nope.
Is the, If this is the chill version of you, I would really love to see what the pre-Christ version was.
Yeah. No, sir. So he's like, you know, thank God for that. I can't even find where this part is. Where is this?
Where he just the little where he tells his girlfriend that he's quitting.
Yeah.
Oh, no, where his little monologue was. I don't know where it was. I just was like, I'm just going to say it right here.
Yeah. He texts his girlfriend. He's a quitter. Yeah. Okay. I see that. Yeah. So then Jess is frustrated and saying, this isn't going to work for me. And Carrie's like, are you good? She goes, yeah, I'm just a bit frustrated. And he's like, well, you've just got time to learn to pump the brakes, you know, just chip away at it. So then Fraser has Barbara and Rainbow set the table for Bollywood theme. And Rainbow's like, I care about the product we produce. We are working with billionaires, like the top of the top. Like, if you can give those people that wow feeling, that's incredible.
Yeah. So
overeager stew. Can't wait to watch her break down and lose her shit.
Yep. Tablescapes. The one who's always so invested in tablescapes is always the one who like loses their mind.
Yeah.
So now
and the one overly impressed with billionaires too. I think when people are like, oh my God, we are serving people with money, those people are always going to be crushed.
Yeah. So there's some stuff happening on the deck with Kao and Jess about do this, do that. Did you eat? Did you not eat? Did you not? It's basically like he has really bad time management. And Kyle's like, it feels like Kao isn't used to managing a team. Me and Damor are simple creatures. Food, drink, and fuck. That's pretty much it. Trained monkeys, mate.
You got to point me to the direction you need, man, mate.
So then Sarah and Jade are talking about dinner and is it going to be late? And Jade's like, I don't know. I mean, a guy from England cooking Indian. So who knows what's even going to happen?
Well, Lawrence has some news. I'm going to be going home and it feels like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders. I'm just not one to pack things in on the first day. But when it comes to having to cook an egg, it's a bit too much. It's a big ask for me. So, yes, it feels a bit of a failure, but the problem is when everything's going wrong around you, obviously there's a limit. I definitely feel more relaxed now because British people love curry and I love curry. And I went to India 11 years ago. And when I was there in India, I said, this is too much. I can't do this anymore. So I came back to Britain and I went to Wagamama and I said, there, this is food.
So he serves beef and chickpea madras, and the guests love it. Okay, they're like, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Oh, my God. So now Selene and Barbara are in a room in a cabin, and Selene's like, oh, it is beautiful, the bed. It looks so good. And she's like, it's not ready. Please, Selene, this doesn't belong here. What is all this stuff on the bed? There's literal trash on the bed. It is not trash. It is blanket. Okay, it is wrapper of thing. Maybe it's trash. Okay, maybe I did the bed this morning. Maybe she didn't touch this side, so I don't have to do it again, no? Because like, this no, side I already did, so maybe I just do half the bed.
No, you have to do the whole thing over. Over, you have to do because basically, like someone got,
no, I don't
you
want
to. Do it.
To.
You
no,
don't have to do
poo-poo
it.
Says, no, poo-poo in my face today. I don't have to do this now.
Because
so.
Basically, like the person barely disrupted their bed, but Barbara's like, no, you have to change all the sheets. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. But they barely even touch it. It's like, it's not really poop in the bed. Like, and I have to touch a poop earlier today. By the way, I like there was a moment, there was a really small moment with Selene where she was like unfolding some sort of garment or she was trying to fold it. She's like, I don't understand what shape. It is not square. It is not triangle. It is bat. It's a trapezoid.
Okay, we have to make the bed. But why? Because we have to. But why we have to make it? Because we have to. But I know you say I'm going to do, okay, but I want to know why. Like, oh my God.
Barbara's losing her mind.
She goes, fuck her. Fuck myself. I have to do four cabins now by myself. And she's like, Selene, she's always questioning things, but why? I don't know why either. I would never do it in my home. Just do it. It's a boat. She's fucking annoying.
These two together are so hilarious. It's like I'm just laughing out loud every single second.
And they're both hilarious. Barbara's really funny too. I love them.
Oh yeah. I love Barbara. So now it's time for dessert. It's yogurt strawberry salad with the mango sorbet. They're like, oh, chef, you really outdid yourself tonight. You know what? I want to give you this black light. Please keep it and use it. In good faith.
Uh-oh, I just turned it on. I see a little demon sitting on your shoulder. That's weird, sticking his tongue in your ear. Do you feel that?
So Fraser sitting with Barbara.
How was turned down? She said, bad. She doesn't listen to me. I have to say no. Fraser said that. And then she listens to me. I have to always say that over and over again. She goes, well, I just don't want you to be frustrated now because I was planning on, I don't know, destroying your mental state in about 3 episodes. So just stay strong now.
I promise you I'm going to do something about it. And mostly it's going to be right into my journal. Someone said they need to ask me first. I finally fucking did it, journal. Suck my dick, you undermining little journal bitch. All right, go back to work. Like, that's it? Like, yes. Thank you.
So back to the guest. Kerry has joined them for dessert. So this guy, Sam, is like, you know, your crew has been so good with these two kids.
Well, I had a little chat with the crew before everyone arrived. And I said, if your kid falls over, you're fired. Ha ha ha.
Sam's like, well, that'll do it.
But if they come back with their life changed and ask to go over again, you're rehired and given a raise because I want to bring children adventure. Do you understand?
Hey, Captain Kerry, you have kids too, right?
Mm-hmm. My daughter's 12, my son's 14, and I haven't seen them in 9 months. They live in Fort Lauderdale. I miss them so much, I'm going to sell kimonos. Sorry, I sort of slid into some below deck tropes. They're actually fine. They're very well-adjusted children, which is strange.
So Kyle's checking in with Lawrence. He's like, how's it today, mate? And he's like, oh my God, I feel a lot better than this morning. I had a fucking explosion this morning. I mean, basically I said, I'm gone. That's it. I'm gone. I'm done. And Kyle's like, well, that was this morning. Have you changed your tune a little bit, maybe? He's like, no, I haven't.
And this is where he has his monologue. Before I met Jesus, I was a very different person. I was pretty short-tempered. I used to get angry all the time, but my faith has helped me through this by making me resilient in the face of eggs. Well, I could do one egg, but two eggs, I'm out.
Scrambled? How fucking dare you? How dare you? But you know, my faith has helped me through these challenging few days. How has it helped you? You're quitting. You are the worst advertisement I've ever seen. He's like, yes, but I've got the peace to know when I walk away from things, it's good. Jesus did not walk away from things. Where are you learning this religion? Come to me. I don't even believe in it anymore, and I'll tell you.
It's always the worst people who are very selective with what parts of religion that they use for their journey to excuse what they do, right?
Yeah. He's like, God, Jesus has really helped me. Tell everybody off, curse at the entire crew, and quit. Wait, wow. Where to sign me up? So he's like, well, I mean, the crew's great. Captain's great. I mean, he's been good to me, the captain, you know, but my gut is telling me, walk away. Walk away.
Okay, relax, ma'am. So then outside, Selene and Jess.
Just a note, martyrs don't quit. Okay, next.
Yeah, you should be
grounded. That's all I have to say to you, sir.
Yeah. So Selene and Jess are having a smoke. And Jess is like, oh, so we drop off tomorrow and I'm nervous tomorrow. We're going to get to the marina and we're going to have to go through that passageway. And Selene's like, big day for you. I don't know why. I wasn't really listening, but sounds exciting. It's like, yeah. She's like, by the way, do you have a lighter? She's like, oh, hold on. It's in my boob. Like, oh, yeah. She's like, yeah, I have everything here. Here's my lipstick. Here's a sandwich. Oh, look, I found a tumbler from Starbucks.
Oh, people think it's so fun, you know, like, are you horny, Selene? No, it's just a lipstick in my boob. So they love each other. Her and Jess like each other. She's like, oh, I love Jess. She's like breath of oxygen. I can breathe. I can breathe everything.
And I've been holding my breath ever since I saw poo-poo.
So Kerry, it's the next day, next morning. It's the last day of the charter. Everyone's waking up. Carrie's radioing everyone. Kerry is nervous because they got to go through that tiny bridge. By the way, you know what needs to go to Shut Up Mountain? That bridge. I'm already mad at it. First of all, we're going to deal with this every single, right? We have to deal with it every single episode. Why do they do this? You've got a whole other, you made a drawbridge part of one side. Why not make the other side drawbridge also? Why do we not have full drawbridge?
They have multiple clips from fucking B-roll headline news about people crashing into this fucking dock, and they still just keep it that way. It's like, well, it's cheaper, I guess, to fix a super yacht than it is to make the freeway wider. Come on, guys.
Come on. Bridge it up. Do the other half as a bridge. You could do
it. Yeah, this is some bullshit. I agree with you.
I'm actively mad.
I feel like it's very French, though, to be like, oh, really? It's too tight? Do it again. Do it again. Do it again, stupid.
There's probably like maybe one bridge person up there just laughing like, oh, got another. They probably get like more money from the French government every time they get another like headline news clip of a yacht crashing into the freeway.
Seriously. So they're going to have to go through this tiny narrow passage. And Carrie's like, well, all the YouTubes I've seen, the boat hit the bridge. You just go to Captain Jason, Captain Glenn, drivingboats.com, and you can see all the boats that have crashed into this bridge. I just don't want to join them in there. So the risk is to the vessel is very high. I don't want to crash. And so we see all these accidents, which are crazy. So they're going
to like, how much does it cost to repair the bridge every time somebody crashes into the freeway? Come on, man.
Come on.
You have to remodel the bridge anyway. So just remodel it proper. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Of course, then I thought, but then they have to fit in these tiny slips and they always do that. But still, a slip is less scary than a bridge to crash into.
How about this? How about just shut down the road and just demolish the bridge? Just make it one.
How about make it where boats can fly and then they could just fly over? Yeah.
Or, yeah. How about that?
Or make water solid and just put wheels on boats.
Do we really need that bridge there? Do we need that road, in fact? Can't they just go drive around the marina like everyone else? Do we really need
that? Why do we even need yachts? Why can't rich people just swim?
I want to bring up, I want to see this map. I want to look. Like, rich people don't swim very well. That's for sure.
Apparently. So this thing's ridiculous, but they handle it pretty well. They get it through, which for their first time is good. I mean, I guess you have to be, even if it's your first time, because, you know, I play video games and I suck literally for 20 hours and get killed multiple times before I even learn how to shoot one thing. So for me, it's just like, nah, just crash, you'll learn. But you can't do that on a boat. You know, you can't just crash it once. But they got through. I was proud of them.
Yeah. And you really see how narrow it is. It's very narrow. By the way, I'm also right now I'm on Google Maps and I'm because in my mind, I'm prosecuting a case against St. Martin about how they built this road. And I think I found the bridge. And it's next to a thing that says there's a little island. It's called Snoopy Island.
Oh, well, I mean,
that's cute. OK, I take it all back. You can keep
Snoopy would get it back. Snoopy would get that boat through just fine. He'd put like a little Snoopy scarf on, talk in a funny voice, be like, and get it across.
Oh, although maybe it's, oh, you know what? Maybe it's the, I don't know. I'm going to have to look into this. Next episode, I'm going to come back and I will give a full report about that bridge and how necessary it is to have that bridge, because I'm really still not convinced.
Yeah. That bridge sucks. I don't care what anybody says. So they get it over and Carrie's kind of freaking out because he's got the adrenaline running through him because it's going to be close every time. And so Kaio's like, okay, how'd it go? And he's like, oh my God, there's no yelling, no screaming, no nothing. I mean, the parameters. Come on, mate. Come on. And Kaio's like, oh my God, I thought I actually did something good for once.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen. And ultimately, you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
So now it's time to say goodbye to the guests. And Sam is like, Captain, you've got a great crew this season. It's wonderful. I'm proud to say I didn't see any splooge in any room. And I just am so thankful that you kept it clean for us. Thank you so much for having us.
By the end of the night, the only DNA I was covered in was my own. So I'd like to thank you all.
Ooh. Oh my God. Poo-poo. Oh no.
Here's a monetary gift for all of you. It's just a gift that you didn't really earn it. It's just my generosity in an envelope. You're welcome, poor people. Okay.
So now they get change out of their whites and Kyle and Damo are gossiping. Did you hear it in the news? But going to Brigadine. No, actually,
Chef, he's gone.
So, Damo's like,
I know the original cast of that. His name is Ben.
As someone who played Archie Beaton, the Scottish accent means a lot to me. It's part of my story.
Welcome to Brigadine.
That was my line. That's all I said in that entire musical.
So they talk about how there's a new chef coming, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe the chef's already fucking off. So then Fraser is talking to Carrie. Oh, so now it's tip meeting. So it's like, guys, first one done, eh? All right, guys, thanks for taking the time out of your busy afternoon fucking off to get the boat sorted. All right, boy, from the very first moment this charter started, there were roadblocks. We've got a lady afraid of poo-poo. We've got a man who says Jesus, but also fuck in the same sentence. We've got lots of stuff going. We've got Fraser. Who knows why he's here again? I mean, God bless us all. Casting is just destined to fuck us all up the arsehole. All right, let's go over tips. $30,000.
Well, I'm happy. $30,000, which is outrageous. That's almost twice as much as Contessa and Scott gave on another season of the show. Well done.
So that's a huge tip. That was a huge tip. I don't think we've ever seen 30,000 before. I feel like we usually see like 25,000 or 27,000.
We've seen 30 before, but it's rare. Oh. It's rare.
Okay.
It's a rare one. Okay. I just remember because we had a friend going on there and they're like, how much do I need to tip? I was like, if you want to look rich, 30. If you want to look normal and not stingy, 25. If you want to look pathetic and rude, anything under that. And they took 25. I was very proud.
Yeah.
But Kale not too proud. Because I was like, you could have gone 30. I told you 30.
Could have done better. 30. Yeah. Demo and Kale were talking about women. And Kale tells us a little bit about, like, he's just really focused on his job. He really can't focus on women right now. So he needs to focus on the work. And so Fraser calls Solane for a meeting. He's like, hello, Solane. How's that charter for you? Oh, it is new. I want to be very good at my job, but you know, there's poo-poo in toilet. So I don't know how I'm supposed to deal with that because we cannot touch poo-poo. Okay. It is face of germ. So he's
here's like, my yes. plan. I listen to everybody and what they have to say to me. And you know what I do? I shut up. That's what I do. I shut up. I say, Solane, shut up. Have you heard me shutting up? It's so loud. It's crazy. Everybody loves it. Have you heard?
Like, yes, the exact opposite of what she does.
Now, you know, Barbara and Rainbow know the job, so I just want to ask you to please listen and do what they say. Only if you say. Okay, well, I'm saying. No, but only if you say. You say first. No, poo-poo. And I say yes, okay. Do it.
Do basically, it listen. If someone with bangs talks to you, listen to what they have to say. Ugh. Otherwise, you will be fired.
Ugh, gross bangs. Okay, quiet, Solane.
You know, I do feel like there's potential for drama, which I do love, but I'm just getting flashbacks. Flashbacks to Stu's fighting. And then we see flashbacks of Camille and the other girl fighting, and then flashbacks of Barbie.
Camille's like, water bottles are hard. What the fuck do you want from me? I can only carry so many water bottles at one time. Why are you trying to murder me?
Then we cut to Kyle and Damo, who have actually the most sexual energy and chemistry on this boat. They they're going to like jerk off together and make out. Like that's just
at the very least. I hope they get it on that night cam.
Yeah. So they're basically both naked, and Kyle's like, oh, Mel, you got a fucking dick piercing. He's like, yeah. He's like, why did you do that? He's like, when I was 20, Damo tells us he did it for charity, which, by the way, fuck that charity. What charity is this?
Yeah, he goes, I did it for charity. I did it for the kids. What?
Are you sure you weren't on a prank show?
What charity?
And then he details exactly how they do it. And I was like, no, stop. I don't need to know.
Yeah, he says they shove a tube down your urethra and then they just keep going down and then they pierce from the bottom side up with the needle.
It's going to hurt for, he's like, it hurt for 6 months. I was like, yeah, don't do that. No.
I mean, to each their own, pee. You know, but
you have to pee multiple times a day and you, because
wieners are just so weird. You know, they're weird anyway. They're always a different size. They grow, they shrink, they expand, they contract. Like they're up you, they're outside. Like, how do you know what that thing is going to do? It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's a lot. It can get caught on. And if that thing gets caught on something, That's no good.
That's why we're just not going to add unnecessary things to the wiener, because there's already a lot that's going on down there. Okay.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Lawrence is talking to Fraser in the van because they're going to dinner. And he's like, I became a Christian 2 years ago. I started reading the Bible. I think the rapture is going to happen pretty soon. So when it does happen, I don't want to be stuck in this shitty kitchen.
Fuck off. Why is everybody so excited for the rapture all the time? I just don't get that. And I feel like it's all like very newly religious people are like, the world's about to end. Oh, God. I feel like God's up in heaven. Like, you're not important enough to hate. Like, shut up. I've got other things. It's Lisa Vanderpump up there. Like, I've got other things going on, darling. Why would I end the world when I've got the new Lisa Vanderpump Hotel opening right now in Las Vegas?
I know. Heaven's crowded. They don't need to like double the size of it in one day.
But also, so, if you're really convinced the rapture is coming soon, just stay home. Don't go to work. You know what I mean? Like, why do you go to work every day? Why do you even make an effort? It's just so defeatist. Just go fucking cry. What are you even praying about? I mean, if your whole thing is like, oh my God, I'm going to pray to be saved. But your real belief is that the whole world is going to be set on fire. What are you even praying to? Obviously, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think he's... This guy is,
fuck off with that. The rapture's coming. God, not soon enough. Not soon enough to get me out of this conversation.
Well, I do like that he's like, I think the rapture's going to happen soon. And Fraser goes, okay, can we not? I'm on my first night out on the charter, so I'd rather not think about the end of the world. Thank you so much.
So now they're out, they're getting shit-faced, and Selene and Kyle go off to choose their lobster. Okay, I've seen this, even in the Red Lobster, where they're like, who would you like to murder today? And then, you know, some lucky kid gets to go pick the thing they're going to murder. I've never seen somebody reach into the thing, stand on a chair, reach into the aquarium, and take out their own thing. Have you?
Yeah. That was surprising. I mean, I guess it's not that far removed from fishing, but yeah, it did feel...
Add a kidnapping charge to your murder charge. Like, you're not going to be prosecuted anyway.
I also don't think I want to reach my hands into a lobster tank before dinner anyway. Because, you know, it's not just you have to wash your hands, you have to wash your forearms. Like, they're shitting there. Like, those lobsters pee through their eyeballs. You know, I don't want that. Like,
do lobsters pee through their eyeballs?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I read a whole book about lobsters. They do weird shit. Weird shit. It's a good book. It's called The Secret Life of Lobsters, and people should read it. It's really interesting. It's a book where, like, when you're done with it, you're like, now I know all sorts of interesting things about lobsters, and I'm going to impress everyone at a cocktail party, but now I've forgotten everything except for the fact that lobsters pee through their eyeballs. So,
and you finally get invited to a cocktail party, and you're like, did you know lobsters pee through their eyeballs?
And the other person's like, did you know the end of the world is around the corner?
Did you know the rapture's coming?
The rapture's happening. So
Fraser goes up to Damo and he's like, what's the goss? What's the 411? The goss, the streets. What are the streets saying? What's the riz? Exactly. What's the dealio? What's the pow pow?
So then Damo's talking about, like, he's basically trying to find out who Damo's. Is it Damo or Damo? I keep calling him Damo.
I don't know. We have a 6 week grace period.
Okay. Grace period is on. So Damien's like, yeah, I've got slim pickings. And Fraser goes, until someone gets fired. And he goes, well, it depends how serious you are with your boyfriend. And he's like, oh, it's so funny. This happens to Fraser every season. There's always some guy who's like a little sort of fluid who flirts with Fraser. I feel like I've never seen that on any other Bravo show, except for when it happens with Fraser. It's like, well, the answer is not serious at all if you're asking. But if anyone else is, very, very serious.
He's like, never rule anything out, mate. And he's like, oh my God, that guy's hot. I mean, he's a 10 out of 10. Oh God, am I open for a kiss? I don't want to kiss him because I'd fall madly in love with him. And I need to understand from the get-go that boy is straight. And I have a boyfriend, right? So I just need to tell myself, he's straight, he's straight, he's straight, he's straight, he's straight. His dick is in my mouth. Why is his dick in my mouth?
So then Solane has the lobster that she pulled out, and she's like, oh look, it's Vanessa, my lobster. What are you doing here, Vanessa? You smell like dead pussy.
And Barbara's like, did you say dead pussy? Dead pussy. I said dead pussy. I smell fish. Anyone smell it? I'm an angel. An angel who does not like poo-poo, but kind of the smell of pussy. Give it to me, Vanessa. God, this girl's crazy. Everyone's just looking at her like, oh my God.
Kyle's just like salivating. And she's like, I see Scottish looking at me. I love him. She calls him Scottish. I see Scottish looking at me in a certain way, but I had men before, mainly because I have kept a knife in my boobs once and we hugged and it was cut. But he's not my fault. Maybe they thought I'm more like this, but I'm more like that. More like a little bit of up and another little bit of down. A little bit of left and a little bit more right. I don't know. Sorry. Not sorry.
So now everybody goes to dance except for KO and Lawrence, who don't dance. So now it's time to... Okay. I've seen a movie Jesus made about a town without dancing. It was my favorite movie ever. The ending sucked, though. Tell you that.
Listen, I don't want to be dancing when the rapture happens. I'm just going to stand very still. Otherwise, I might the spotlight might miss me.
So now they go back and Lawrence, KO, and Fraser go right to bed. And everyone else is going to the hot tub. So Celine is talking to Damo and Kyle. And she's like, do you enjoy your work? Do you enjoy it? You know you probably do because there's no poo-poo. You don't have to work poo-poo, huh? No.
Yes, we love our job, by the way. Our job is the best. We go monkey see, monkey do. And Dama's like, yeah, we're a package deal. And then they kind of like cuddle in the hot tub. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And I mean, of course you noticed that. The guys both like cuddle together. He's like, we're a team. I'm like, this is gonna get up to some funny business very soon, I'm telling you.
Fingers crossed. So Rainbow is talking to Jess about how she likes Damo, but she's not sure. And she had more fun with Kyle, but she's open to anything. So then back with them, Kyle gets out of the hot tub to smoke. So Celine's like, give me my glass, huh? Give me a kiss here. Kiss. Only on cheek, I say. Not on my face. Only on cheek, give me a kiss. Okay. And Kyle's like, well, I want a kiss there later on, though. And she's like, in me lips. She's like, yeah. She goes, oh, be careful. I hurt men. I man hurt.
Yeah. So basically, Kyle was flirting with her, but now Damo's flirting with her. And then he's like, okay, Kyle's like, okay, the door is yours, lad. I'll remove myself from the situation. Good luck, bro. So then it looks like Damo and Selena are about to go hook up, but they actually don't. And so now it's the next day, and Barbara is asking Selene what happened. He's like, oh, he kissed me, but like, whatever. And so now Kyle's happy because he's still in the running.
Yeah. So she's like,
well, the Scottish guy, I feel, of course, but I'm all now because his kiss.
And Fraser's like, oh, he kissed your leg. So then Kyle and Damo are talking about it. And he's like, did you get in, bro? Not even close. Well, I knew I was on, but then you did that. And I said, I'm out.
He's like, oh, don't do that. He's like, I don't mind. But next time, fuck off. I didn't really understand what was honestly happening.
He's like, I gave this. Her to you this time. But next time, she's mine.
There was like some weird like, you know, like it's triangle just boys stuff that they were
fighting over girls like their property. You know how it goes. Yeah. Below deck.
All right, everyone, let's have a meeting. All right, thanks everyone. I know you're busy. I know you've got stuff to do. As I'm sure everyone's aware, Lawrence will be leaving us in a couple of days to go on a new boat called the SS Pussyface. Anyway, we have another chef coming in today, and I was able to reach out to a friend of mine to come in, and the chef's going to be Anthony from last season. So if anyone wants some mediocre food and a very messy galley, congratulations, that's what we have. Blame Fraser.
If anyone can support Anthony, I really appreciate it. Oh, please give him plenty of hugs, support, and possibly medications. Okay? He'll need them. So, good luck.
So, Anthony is like, oh, guess who's back this season, baby?
Frenchie is back in the game again. It's me, Alan Cummingface. It's a redemption. I'm not a loser. I can be winner, and I can make my family proud. Finally, my chance to make my family proud.
Oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do it. I can't do it. I feel myself failing already.
My facial hair is more manicured than ever. Brows thinner. Thinner than the thinnest line you've ever seen in your life. And the food, delicious.
So, well, it's good to see you. Looks great. Those eyebrows, love it. Reminds me of Betty Davis. You're doing great work there. It's like, thank you.
It's been really good to be home. I'm ready to be fresh and happy.
Well, it's been an intense chatter. We'll do preference meeting a little bit later, and Orange is going to stay on, and he's going to cry and cry and cry, and you just make him some soup and make him feel better.
So Kyle tells Fraser that Tony's here. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Anthony and I are like brothers. We get along incredibly well. Him leaving last year was absolutely heart-wrenching. And by that, I mean extremely entertaining and power-filling.
Well, coming back to the boat, I have different emotion inside me. I love Fraser, but I was feeling maybe Fraser betrayed me because Barbie told me so. And I need to find the right moment to talk about my feeling with Fraser to put everything on the table. Because as everyone knows, I'm a very confrontational person who is really good at yelling at people. And then 16 days later, Fraser,
no, chef, no. Don't fuck with me and my emotions. I did bring you here to work with you. I don't care what any podcaster says, because you're one of my favorite people here to work with. I didn't get you fired. I wanted you back. And guess what? Forget this.
Yeah, so there's a big fight, a big emotional fight with the boys, like you wanted me fired in first place.
Bonjour, au revoir.
Bonjour, mother trucker. So that's there we go. It's the end of Below Deck. Pretty entertaining season so far, Below Deck.
Yeah, great. It's really good. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll see you at our shows. You better be there. Tickets at watchcrappins.com. And we'll catch you at the next Crappins episode. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B. Kristen the Piston Anderson. Get a B in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry. We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett. There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do the Sydney Congdon.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo. She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.